Well, this is our final week of life group lessons on leading a life group, and we've talked a lot about the why of the life group, the what, and this week it's more practical. We're going to talk about what's the structure? And so the best way to do that is to actually have little life groups today. So I counted there's 12 people, right? I'm terrible at math, so yeah, I think 6, 6. Okay, there's 12 people. So let's break up into groups of three. This is a threesome here. So whatever's kind of easiest, we're going to be going back and forth from classroom to your life group throughout the day. So maybe just try to group. You may have to move so that it's a way you want to be like this, where there's kind of like maybe you three, our group. And then maybe you want to move.
To where?
I'm trying to think. So you three are a group. Yeah. And then you three can be a group. Are you okay being together? Okay. Yeah. I know. If you want to switch. So it's Ty. Is that your name?
Ty.
Yeah. You can join. And you guys are Brent and Cindy.
Oh,
yeah. So, you led last week, and do you say it Liliana? Is
yes.
That how you say it, Liliana? You're going to lead, and I'll give you the instructions. It's not, don't worry. And Marcus, you led last week, so Stephen, have you ever led a life group? No, okay, you're going to, oh, I didn't give you, it's 2 pages.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. And these, have either of you led a life group?
Long time ago.
Long time ago. You've never? Have you ever led a life group?
No, but she's
a great reader and public speaker.
That really makes me want to pick you. That's like, don't you know you never volunteer other people? Okay. So what we're going to do, I just printed off. This was, I think, from 2 weeks ago, Pastor James's message. So I printed off the life group leader material. So don't stress. I'm not going to make you do the word part because that does require some preparation. Not much. So just so you know what I did this morning, I printed this off. I spent 15 minutes reading through it. Reading the verse, making my own notes, just 15 minutes of preparation, that's all it took. So I'm going to do the word part just to kind of model it to you. But the life group leaders, you are going to lead the warm-up, the application, and the prayer. And what we're going to do is we're going to do like a small teaching on the warm-up, and then we'll break up and have you guys do that. Does that make sense? Okay, so the first, lots of different churches have, let's pray real quick, right before. So let me pray. God, we just thank you for today. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for those who are leading life groups today. God, I thank you that for the priesthood of all believers, God, that you can use them today. And Lord, even though this is not even a real situation, Lord, I thank you that you would use them and speak through them today as they lead and facilitate this conversation. Lord, we just pray for your presence to be here, God, that you would just be in the midst of us. And God, that your presence would just fill all of our conversation and all that we, as we open up your word, even God, that you would speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So just so you know, there's different churches use different kind of structures for their small groups. But this is the one we've chosen at Bethel and even throughout every nation. And I think it's because it's so simple that really, even if you feel like you maybe aren't equipped, that anybody can do it. You know, anybody can ask questions and just connect with people. So that's why we use it. And it's a 4-part structure. It's called warm up, word, application, and prayer. So the first section is the warm-up. So beginning a life group with warm-up questions helps break the ice and generate conversation. And I'm just going to go through this quickly. Warm-up questions help people get to know one another better. So that's a good warm-up question. A good warm-up question is one where we can learn more about the other people in our group. Warm-up questions help people feel comfortable and enable them to let their guard down. Warm-up questions are usually surface questions that provide an environment for people saved and unsaved to feel comfortable. So we want the person who maybe has never even stepped into a church before and they come to your life group, we want them, when they hear the warm-up question, to feel comfortable. That they don't feel intimidated or feel like this is a question maybe they don't have the answers to. We want it to be something where they can share about their life. You know they're going to have the answer because it's not a right or wrong answer question. It's just about an experience or an opinion. You know, what's your favorite color? It can be as simple as that. What's the best thing that happened to you this week? What's your favorite thing about Christmas? Or your, you know, maybe not least favorite thing, that gets negative. Warm-up questions that tie into the word that will be discussed are great, but not necessary. So I personally like to make my warm-up questions somehow connect to what we're going to be discussing. And I think I mentioned this last week. If we're talking about grace, one of my favorite questions to ask is, what's your favorite gift you ever got? And then I get to share my story of when I was 17 years old and my childhood dog had died 6 months before. And I wanted a dog so bad for Christmas, but my parents were like, absolutely not. But little did I know, they were planning this. And so my very last gift that I opened on Christmas morning was my little puppy, Lucy. Aww. She was about that little. They'd put her in the bottom. She was a Cairn Terrier, and they'd put her in the bottom of a bag. So I get to share that story. It's like one of my favorite memories in life is just like opening and just having a little, tiny little puppy in there, like moving around. So it's great. You get to hear stories like that. You get to know. Now you know that I'm a dog person, that I love dogs. Warm-up questions are not a place for hard Bible questions. Warm-up questions are not a place for controversial right or wrong answers. Don't ask, who are you voting for in the next election? Your life group will probably never meet again. So now that we've gone over quickly, just that's a little bit of a brief, just what warm-up questions should be. So now I want you to split up into your groups. And for my life group leaders, I've underlined the question I want you to ask, and simply just ask that question and let the people in your group. You can either start it, maybe if your group, you feel like they're new, if I start, maybe it'll open things up, or you can let the other people answer the question first. So Q, I think you can join Marcus's group, since you're right there, or Stephen, okay? Take about 5 minutes. Okay, you guys, warm-up question finished?
Yes.
Okay, why was that a good warm-up? We're going to be going back and forth, so if you want to, well, good. Why was that a good warm-up question?
Now we know a little bit about other people.
Yeah, you learned something. Did anyone tell a story or share more maybe about their childhood or their family? I heard over here people were sharing about which parent they were more like.
Yeah.
Because you guys did question number one, right?
Yes.
Did anyone have a funny nickname?
Oh, they did.
Did you guys do question number one too?
Well, I switched it a little bit. I asked them their names and what are two strengths. So.
Okay.
The only reason I did is because I was trying to figure out how could they help the light group. The light group.
Cool. So that's great. That's the thing, is you can ask any. And was that a good question? Did you guys like that question? Getting to reflect on yourself? That's great. What about you guys? Did you learn anything? Anyone have any interesting nicknames or?
I did. Our daughter calls us Squishy Face.
She told him one day when he picked her up from Sunday school. She says, call me Squishy Face. him Emberlyn Squishy Face Miles. And so we started calling her Squishy Face, and when we dropped her off with her mom, she was like, "Bye, Dada Squishy Face." So figured out that's why she wanted to call her that.
Oh. Oh, that is so cute. That's great. So why else? Maybe it sounds like we all kind of did different questions, and that's perfectly fine. Why was your question good? Other reasons than you learned something about yourself or your group?
Made everyone relax.
Made everyone relax. Good. I noticed, it's Liliana, right? I noticed Liliana, she had a pre-warm-up question because she found out we were at Starbucks. So I heard her asking, "What's your favorite drink?"
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that could be your warm-up question, you know? Like, say you print off, that's the thing is, be flexible. Like, I love how Stephen was flexible. So you print off these notes, but then you get there and you realize, you know, that's not really the question I'm feeling for this group. We're going to ask, what's your favorite drink? Mm-hmm. And maybe you know, it's our first week meeting together, let's start there.
Exactly.
And that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. Just... you have that, as long as you just follow these steps and follow the principles of a warm-up question that no one asked, you know, are you a Republican or a Democrat? You know, like, they're good questions. Okay, next we're going to move on. I'm going to, on the word. So the purpose of the word portion of a life group is to connect with God through His word. And I think one thing that we in life groups, this is not necessarily, it's not a Bible study. It's not a time for us. Yes, we're going to learn something about God's word, but it's more important that we obey what we learn. That's what we're trying to lead people to, is that we would actually be disciples of Christ and walk in obedience to what we're learning. So it may be simple truths, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to lead a life group. It's more important how much of the Bible you obey rather than how much you know. Mm-hmm. The part that you know, do you obey? Mm-hmm. Then great, you're ready to lead a life group. And that's what we're trying when we're doing this. It's not like let's, you know, do a deep dive study into, you know, Philippians. That's okay to study Philippians, but it's more, you know, just taking little chunks every week and saying, okay, what is God speaking to us and how can we apply that so that we can be disciples of Christ and walk in obedience to Him? So spending time learning and discussing the word helps reinforce the fact that God has an answer for everything we go through in this life. The word reveals the true condition and motive of our hearts. The word teaches us who we are in Christ. Hearing the word builds our faith, which enables us to live lives that please God. And the word illuminates the path and plan that God has for us. So I'm just going to quickly go through, just because I didn't want to throw it. It sounded like Stephen, he was ready to just go ahead and lead the whole life group, which is awesome. But I'm going to go ahead and just model that. So this would be a very big life group, but I'm going to pretend like, I won't be able to see anyone. I'm going to come pretend like I'm sitting with you guys and pretend like there's only three people. Instead, so we just asked the question, say we just talked about favorite drink. So now I'm going to ask, Jade, would you read Ephesians 4:17 for us? Here, you can just read it from there.
Okay. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing.
They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceit. deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
Thank you. That was longer. You know, it's always longer when you read it out loud. Well, if you guys want to, if you have your Bibles, you can open it up too, because I wanted to ask you guys a question about that. Is when you're reading this, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is the one who wrote this, this letter to the Ephesians. And how does Paul describe what life looks like for those who have not learned Christ? He says, you know, in verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. So all the verses before that, he's talking about those who haven't learned Christ. How does he describe what life looks like?
Hedonistic.
Hedonistic. What does that mean? Self-satisfying. Yeah, self-gratifying. Good. How else does he describe it?
That we are darkened in our understanding. This is very, very hard. I mean, yeah. It's hard, but it's true.
What do you think that means, being darkened in your understanding?
It's like every time that you come up with somebody tell you that is something that is light, you immediately, you feel like you have a rejection.
Mm.
You know, like... I don't like it because it means that I have to change all my thing, and I want that gratification that she mentioned.
Mm.
I don't want to lose it.
Yeah. Maybe a self-centered way of thinking.
I noticed in there it was saying because of the ignorance that is in them. So I think last week we discussed... ignorance means lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
So if I'm looking at it like this, then I'm saying that they're darkened in their understanding because of the lack of knowledge they don't have for Christ.
Yeah, it's great.
One thing that verse 17 says is just so I tell you, you know, you must no longer live as Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. It's that like whatever you think, whatever problems you have, you still won't be able. It's like you still won't be able to zoom in or make sense of it, because you just think it's like the Greeks, you know. It's every new thought comes, and if today, you know, we thought this, it was correct, and then you just don't know where you are, you know.
It's but like you're being tossed with the waves.
It's like, you know, like the Greeks used to be. Italians, they just think they accepted every new thinking, so you can never make a decision based on
it's good.
Everywhere, basically.
So you're everywhere. You're ignorant. You don't know something. You don't know Christ. And you're living for yourself. You know, everything is about self-gratification and what's going to make you happy. So that is what life looked like before someone learns Christ. And then after they learn Christ, there's this tension between life, our life we had before Christ, and the life we have now with Christ. So it's easy to think about our past life and how sin was enjoyable. Pastor James talked about that if you were there this Sunday, about how sometimes he likes to think back to things, you know, when he goes back home for Christmas, and he likes to think back to before he knew Christ and just how crazy he was, and you know, he has to stop himself from that. However, Scripture teaches that sin is enjoyable for a season, but in the end, end is destruction. Paul teaches the importance of remembering that in Christ we are new, and we should no longer live. No longer give way to our old self. That includes in our thoughts, because they influence our actions. So in the second part of this verse, so based on what we said, what before we learned Christ, how does Paul tell us, what does it mean to live well? How do we live well? What does it look like to live well?
Being saved.
What does that mean, to be saved?
Allowing Jesus to, like,
move through you and move through you and over you in your life.
Yeah, to actually know Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. To know him. That's what it means to learn Christ, is to know him and to let Jesus actually change you, to transform your life. So living well comes through Christ alone. Grace is empowerment we receive from Jesus Christ when we become saved, when we come to know Jesus. We receive this grace. God gives us grace as a gift. Through grace, we can put off old thought patterns and actions produced by shame, sensuality, greed, and deceitfulness. When we live by grace, we experience the good works that he has prepared beforehand for us to walk in. So that's what the way that we live well is in Christ. It's knowing Christ and receiving the grace, this free gift that he has for anyone who is in him, who is in relationship with him. And that's how we put off the old self and put on the new self, is by his grace. And so, if this was a real thing, we would move on to discussion. So what I'm going to do is you guys split back into your groups. I suggest you read that second question. I think I underlined it for life group leaders. But discuss that. Go move on to the application in your small groups, okay? You got it? Okay, take about 15 more seconds. Let people finish their thoughts. Okay, awesome. You guys are doing great. There's so much conversation happening. So just, I didn't have take a moment to talk about the word first. I mean, of course, that wasn't like an ideal situation, because it's like I'm talking to a group. But one thing I always try to do is I try not to talk the whole time. So that's why I ask that question. A lot of times, maybe after I read the verse or maybe halfway through, I'll make sure to ask a question or sprinkle some questions throughout to let other people talk. And there's something too about, it's one thing to hear me telling you something, but when you look at a verse and you're reading it, and you're trying, you know, it's like there's a different level of learning that happens when you're the one reading the verse and saying, okay, what is Paul saying? And so I try to do that. And also, if you guys notice, if anyone used any Christianese, I asked you to explain what that meant. Like, what do you think that means? You know, what does it mean to be saved? I do that because I think sometimes we need to think about that. But also, if there'd been a new person there, yeah, they don't know, what are you talking about, saved? You know, I don't need saving, or I don't know what that means. And that comes, a lot of that comes from me, my experience of being in India for 3 years. I mean, we had to explain, like, everything. Like, there wasn't one word, you know. And you had to think through that for everything. Okay, you're doing the offering message at church. Well, you've got to make sure you don't have any Christianese in what you're saying. Or that you, if you use something, a biblical word, that you explain it. Because I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad to use the word discipleship. I don't think it's bad to use the word atonement or redemption or justification, but you always have to explain it. You can't assume that the people there know, especially if you've got a new person. And I think it helps us when we actually take the time to say, what does justification actually mean? What am I communicating when I use that word? So did you guys have any, with the application, how did it go? Was it awkward? Did anyone feel like there were awkward moments, or it's good? How about our leaders? Did you guys feel, you guys sounded super confident? So I just want to go, I'm not going to read everything. The application, I don't think I want to read anything further. Just with the application, so this time there wasn't like something specific people could do, but maybe sometimes with your application you could say, you know, what's something you could do this week, and next week we'll come back together and discuss that. So you don't have to do that every week, but I think that is a good habit to also to have accountability. So to actually think, next week I'm actually going to go back to this application. Because it's so easy to have that discussion and then you leave and everyone just like forgets it. So go back to it. The last thing, so after you do warm up, then word application, you go on to prayer. So the purpose of praying together is to connect with God and acknowledge that without Him we can do nothing. Praying together allows us to share each other's sufferings and support one another through them. As a life group leader, your goal is to create an environment where people can feel safe and secure. A safe environment allows people to open up about their real life struggles. It allows people to receive encouragement in life, and it allows people to receive from the Holy Spirit. Leaving time for prayer is important because it allows the Holy Spirit to move and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate. And as prayers are answered, unbelievers who attend your life group will see God's love, power, and faithfulness. So also, as a leader, don't just ask people what their prayer requests are, but actually write those down. Pray for them. Come back to them the next week. We've been praying for your house to sell. How's that going? Because when other people, it's not just going to encourage the person you're praying for, but when other people hear what God's doing, that God is answering our prayers, that's going to encourage them. Especially when you have new people coming in and they see, wow, God's answering our prayers. He's moving. And also for people when their prayers aren't being answered week after week and they're still believing, it gives them just strength to keep believing, to keep holding on, and to keep praying and trusting God. So that's really important. Not just to have it, don't let it just be, oh, well, we pray. That's the last thing we do. But really make this a important part of your life group. As you continue to meet, prayer can also become a point of accountability and allow approximately 10 to 15 minutes for prayer at the end of your life group. So I didn't really talk about this at the beginning because this is like a shortened life group, but normally you would do about 10 minutes of warm-up, 10 to 15. My group, it's always 15 because we're excited to see each other and we talk and talk and talk. And then you want to do about 15 to 30 minutes of word, depending on how long your life group is, and then about 15 minutes of application and 10 to 15 minutes of prayer. So that's kind of how, you know, if you're having an hour life group, you can just do 15, 15, 15, and 15. So when you think about it that way, you think the people in your life group are going to be talking most of the time. And you're only going to be facilitating and talking very little. So now we're going to end our life groups today with prayer. And you guys can do this a few ways. You know, you have very small groups, so you can say, is there anything specific I can be praying for? And you can maybe have someone else in your life group volunteer to pray for them. You can say, let's all pray to the person to the left, but then you need to be mindful of new people. If you have like all new people, you can just be the only one to pray your first week. So there's different ways you can do it, but the most important thing is that you pray. And there are like things that you can pray for. And I would suggest, just as the life group leader, get like, what do other people need prayer for? And then as you close, so if someone else wants to pray, say in Liliana's life group, Jade wants to pray for Charity. Well, then when Liliana closes the prayer, she can also include these three things in her prayer, because that ties back to the life group. Does that make sense? Any questions about that? Good. Okay, you guys, go back into your groups and close your life group with some prayer. Okay, we're going to come back together, even if I don't know if all the groups had time to finish, but we're going to go ahead because I want to go over a few more things. Are you guys all encouraged after praying together? Yeah. So I think the one thing you just want to make sure if you're leading, that when you're because sometimes this happens actually in Barry and I's couples life group when we start going over prayer requests. It like we never really get to prayer because we're spending so much time. So you do want to make sure we can move through the prayer requests quickly so you can actually get to the most important part, which is prayer. Yeah.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
So I've noticed something about triangulation. Sometimes in groups that a good facilitator helps keep the prayer request about the person that's in the room. And not about, like, yes, immediate family, but sometimes it can go even beyond that. And it's kind of, it can become a way of, like, not really talking about the heart of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a good small group leader tries to ask the question that gets the person to give a prayer request that's close to them, like immediate family or themselves, instead of it being, like, my uncle who I met once has cancer. That's great, and we want to pray for
that. Well, that's not great, but yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It might be a Southern culture thing, but I've been in groups, and I'm like, that has absolutely nothing to do. That's all.
And like, you know, like, I know you're going through something that you're not talking about. Yeah.
An actual prayer request for something that's kind of like in the you know.
Yeah. That's so a really good point. Yeah.
An observation.
Yeah. That's great.
Just say it out loud, which is
very good.
We're praying for the whole atmosphere of the whole world.
Yeah. The whole universe should have great homes or something.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. Well, I want to ask you guys, do you guys feel more confident now that you could lead a life group?
Sure.
Yeah, you feel like, you see how it's really not that intimidating?
No.
Maybe she's looking at me like, no. Q?
So I probably missed it, but did you ever go over like what's like the recommended number
of people?
Yeah,
that's a good question. We actually don't have that. Barry, do you have any thoughts on that?
12, if Jesus could handle 12 in life group, I think that the average
that's
person,
a good.
Here's what I've noticed about life groups. The closer you get to 12, the more people, it's harder to get in an hour to everyone where they can actually express themselves. And there are certain people that will dominate more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that like the 6 to 10
I
is
think
a good six like, range.
Ish, yeah.
But the more you get towards the 10 to 12, you need to really be thinking about breaking that into another group. Because that's, in my mind, there's one more leader
empower.
That could start something. And
I agree,
voices that are not being heard because you're getting towards just a cap.
Yeah, I think between 8 and 12, you probably need to think about multiplying and saying, okay, you know, you guys live in that, all of you live in that part of town. How about you guys start a life group? And then a lot of times you formed great relationships, so you can say once a quarter, let's still get together and do a potluck or do things, because people, that's hard. But what makes it challenging, if you don't do that, who can't come then? The new people. It makes it more challenging for new people to come. So you don't want to be so small that a new person, it's okay if you start off. I've had life groups where it's just like one person, nobody else shows up, and that's okay when you start off, but you want it to be, a good like 4 to 6 to 8. It's like a new person can come and feel comfortable. They can talk if they want to talk, but they can also not talk if they don't want to talk. But when you get to like 15 people, it's going to almost feel like going to church at that point for them. So I think what he said is if Jesus had 12, I think that's a good number for us to think of.
So 8 to 12 is enough, right? Or we're thinking of breaking.
I think 8 is a lot. Like to me, I like 6. But that's just me. I'm more of a... But I think once you hit 8, you can start thinking of maybe it's time to multiply.
I don't know if you're talking about your daughter's life group that might push on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just a general... It's not like...
Yeah, this isn't the law.
Sinning or something.
No.
It's just that it does get... Because as it's 2 hours, And 2 hours, they're still there. They still want to be there. And I'm like,
yeah, so it may be good, yeah. I think, yeah, especially when you have girls who are wanting to talk. Yeah, I think that's a great, yeah.
It's just that
they're going to have more opportunity to talk if it's a smaller group. Yeah. And then maybe you still do something with the whole group.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So my outcome-based objective, what I want to happen at the end of this is if you're not in a life group, I want you to join a life group. And I want to do whatever I can to help make that happen. So I've even put my email, because I said, I'm going to direct you to the app, but sometimes you send out a request and you don't hear back, and then you're like, gosh, I finally took a step to join a life group. So that's what I want to also give you my email, because if that happens and you don't hear back, I know who to contact. I know how to hunt people down and get to them so that you can hear back, because I don't want that ever. I used to actually do that where I would, I'd get the emails and make sure everybody was getting followed up. So I want to help with that. And so if you're not in a life group, but you don't know what life groups are available, does everybody have the Bethel app?
Yes. I don't know if I've got the right one.
It is the one with the B, not the hands.
At Bethel World Outreach, BethelWorld.org, BethelWorld.org.
No, go to the app, your app store.
Ah.
So is everyone, if you don't have the app, you can go ahead and, well, you may not want to download it now, you may want to wait till you have Wi-Fi, but...
Mine works, I think.
Okay. So you want to have the new Bethel app, and if you go to the Bethel app, the third one down is Groups. And here is a search engine for you. So this is Groups, and you can find groups. You can choose life stage. So you say, I want an adult co-ed group. I click that, find groups. And it's going to list all the adult co-ed, which I don't know if that one's a... I thought that was a woman's life group. But anyway, it says it's co-ed. I'll have to follow up with that. So you go to that, or you can say, okay, I want to join a married couples group. It'll have all those. You can also search by city. So Antioch, Brentwood, Franklin, Murfreesboro, Nashville. That's, I know we have some in Nolensville and other places, so I don't think that lists all the places that we have them. So if you live in a place that's not listed, it may just be because we only have one life group, so we don't have a category for that yet. So that's if you're not in a life group, that's your homework. I don't care if you do any of the other, don't tell Monty I said this. I don't care if you do any of the other homework, but join a life group. That's the most important thing. And if you're in a life group, you've been in a life group, and you say, I am ready to lead a life group, then that is the number one thing I want you to do. That's your homework. I want you to say, okay, in 2020, I am going to start a life group. And the way you do that is first pray. Write down the names of people you want to reach out to. Start just talking to the people in your section at church. There's always new people, especially this time of year. Barry and I were talking about it when we were driving up. We're like, the parking lot is full. And he said, yeah, it's getting closer to the holidays. Everyone all of a sudden is getting real religious this time of year. So meet people. Just start.
Trying to break the CEO.
Yeah.
I'm more than a CEO.
I go the whole Christmas season. So just step out of your comfort zone. Meet people at church. Or people. You know other people in this church. Who aren't in a life group. Set a time. Find 3 to 4 times which are good for you and see what will work for everyone else. Invite. Go out to coffee, dinner, etc. to connect relationally with those you want to invite to your group. And remind them and follow up. Don't be discouraged if you start out small. As the leader, the new meeting is at the forefront of your mind, but new habits can take a while to form for those you invite. Now, if you do say, I'm going to lead a life group, Bethel wants to know, so please, there is a form. I'm not sure who is, I don't think so. I will have Monty tell you who. It used to be me last year, but no longer. You need to, there's a form to fill out. Who do they? So if you're wanting to start a life group, this is also the person if you're needing help getting connected. She's also the person who can help you, but you're also welcome to email me. So if you're saying, you walk out here, you say, I want to start a life group, this is the person to email. Okay. And then I wanted to tell you about this. So I think you guys saw, there's so many options of life group material. I actually like just went into, looked at our bookshelf and grabbed a bunch and forgot to bring them because I was like, I wanted to give you different examples. So you can use, if you just want a free one, you can use this sermon. Every week it's posted. It's also on the app. On the app, go to sermons. His phone is working a little slow right now, but you go to sermons, and then under the sermon, it'll have, I think, the video, something, and then it'll have the life group material. So you just, under the sermon, and I think it posts on, like, Sunday or Monday.
Mondays now.
Mondays now. So it posts on Mondays. So if you have a Sunday life group, just use the sermon notes from the week before. So that's one, the Bethel Sermon Life Group notes. Another great free material, Victory, is our Every Nation Church in the Philippines. And they use this exact same structure of warm-up, word application, prayer. And they have a lot of their material. They have PDF downloads on their website. So you go to their website, victory.org.ph, and under resources, I think it's the bottom one, it's like life group material box sets. So you go to that and you can purchase the box sets, but then they also have the option of the PDF. And you can download it and it's free and it is great material. It's over like every topic. You can imagine. What do you remember some of the...
There's like one on absolute surrender. So if you're working with people that really haven't given their lives to Christ yet, they're working on that.
Yeah.
You can talk about. But they have like a series of like that, kind of like mainstays, but then they all their sermon series.
Yeah, you can also use their sermon. They do the same thing. They have life group material for all their sermons. So if you like maybe one of their sermon series they did, you can say, oh, I really like they did something on Ephesians. Let me see their notes. So you can do that too. So I just wanted to give you that because that's Every Nation. So another thing you can do is you can use a book. I wanted to bring some of our Every Nation books with you because some of them, it's great when they already have the application questions in the book because you can just use that. I would just suggest if you do a book, don't make your warm-up question or don't start off like, what did you get from the reading this week? Because the reality is people won't read all the time. So you want to actually be prepared for that people won't read. And you want to, same thing, ask a warm-up question where they don't need to have any knowledge. They can just share. And then you want to give a brief summary of the chapter. Because some people will read, some people who read every week will have an off week and not read that week. So you just want to be prepared. Another, you can just go through a book of the Bible. But to me, that's going to be the most work on your part. Because you're going to have to say, okay, we're reading Philippians. Now I have to put this into warm-up word application prayer. I have to come up with a warm-up question. I have to come up with application. So you can do that, but it's easier just to use, when you first start off, to use this material that's provided. So those are some, you can do purple book or one-to-one books. Those are also great for new believers. The one thing about a book, if you do a book, we do want that to be approved. So you'll need to get it approved with Pastor Carol Fidler. So you may want to email. So I think that's all. Any questions? Is anyone going to start a life group in 2020? Anyone?
I want to cover the book of Deuteronomy.
Awesome.
Numbers.
Yes. God, just thank you for this time. Lord, thank you just for everyone in here. God, I'm so glad I got the opportunity to connect with them, to talk about life groups. And I pray, God, that you would help them to get connected, God, to community in this church. God, that they would find a life group. They would find a group of people where they can really do life with, God, where they can grow in their relationship with you and with one another and learn about your word. And Lord, I pray for those in here who you are calling to lead a life group. Lord, I pray that you would give them just the confidence and the courage to take this step. God, and we just pray for your grace, God, that when they take the step, you would provide the people, you would provide the material, you would provide them with all that they need to start this life group, and that their life groups would multiply and grow. In the name of Jesus. Amen.